Blog Talk Radio.
Marsha Jones show this evening. We're going to pay close attention to the situation that's happening there in Ferguson, Missouri. And in lieu of that, I pulled up some information here just asking the question, how often do policemen shoot unarmed black men? And for those of you guys that is on my Facebook, you can see that article there. But this report is disturbing news, but it's not anything that we was not aware of. I mean, this is something that is common in our states, especially the rural areas, the small North Carolina, South Carolina, all of these little small cities around the United States. I mean, this thing happened on a daily basis. It is just now that everyone decided to pay some attention and not, you know, really taking anything away from the tragic situation with Mr. Brown. But the fact of it is that this is the norm in our communities. And this is something that we are trying to address. So we're hoping that individuals join this effort to help us in to get out into our communities. First guest on the line here, Daniel Clark Network. Sponsors of the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, Children, Why Incarcerate, Educate. So we'll see what's happening here.
Please leave your message for
Wilbert Geis.
Okay, my guest is not available right now. I gather that they're working in other things, so we're going to keep this show moving. So the question is, how often do police shoot unarmed black men? And the killing of Michael Brown by police in Ferguson, Missouri, was no abnormal, as they reported yesterday. Brown is one of at least four unarmed black men who died at the hands of police in the last month alone. There are many more cases from years past, as Jeffrey Mithman, executive director of the America Civil Liberties Union, Missouri chapter, put it in a statement of condolence to Brown's family. Unarmed African-American men are shot and killed by police at an alarming rate. And he said this pattern must stop. By qualifying that pattern is difficulty, federal database that tracks police use of force or arrest-related death paint only a partial picture. Police department data is scattered and fragmented. No agency appeared to track the number of police shootings or killings of unarmed victims in a systematic, comprehensive way. But qualifying that pattern is difficulty, federal database that tracks police use of force or arrest-related death paints only a partial picture. Now, here's some of what we do know. Previous attempts to analyze racial bias in police shootings have arrived at similar conclusions. In 2007, the Color Line of the Chicago Reporters investigated fatal police shootings in 10 major cities and found that there were a disproportionately high number of African Americans among police shooting victims in every one, particularly in New York, San Diego, and Las Vegas. We need not look for individual races to say that. To say that we have a culture of policing that is really rubbing salt into long-standing racial wounds. NAACP President Cornell William Brooks told Mother Jones, is a culture in which people suspected of minor crimes are met with overwhelmingly major, often lethal use of force. In Oakland, California, the NAACP reported that out of 45 officers involved shootings in the city between 2004 and 2008, 37 of those shootings, 37 of those shot were black. None were white. One-third of the shootings resulted in fatalities. Although weapons were not found in 40% of the cases, the NAACP found no officers was charged. These numbers don't include 22-year-old Oscar Grant, who was shot and killed by a transit authority officer at the Fruitvale Box station on New Year's Day in 2009. The New York City Police Department has reported similar trends in its firearm discharge report, which shows that more black men have been shot by New York City police officers between the year 2000 and 2011 than have Hispanics or whites. So you can see that there is something wrong in this system in which we as black men are for a nation of officers that is paid to protect us, and they just do just the opposite. When you look at a racial breakdown in New York City, black people are disproportionately represented amongst those targeted as criminal shootings, suspects, firearms, arrestees, and those fired upon are struck by police gunfire. Now, I'm looking at this chart here, and I got to tell you, it's not pleasing at all. 771 racially identified criminal shooting suspects. We're amongst the highest. Firearms arrestees, we're amongst the highest. Fatal shootings by police, we're amongst the highest. I said, often the police officer do not get convicted or sentenced. The laws, Jones Brown, a law professor and director of the Center on Race, Crime, and Statistics at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York City, has identified dozens of black men and women who have died at the hands of police going back as far as 1994. She note that while these incidents happen regularly, it often takes a high-profile case such as Brown's to bring other recent incidents to national attention. Unfortunately, the pattern that we've been seeing recently are consistent. The police don't show as much care when they are handling incidents that involve young black men and women, and so they do shoot to kill. And let me say that again. So they do shoot to kill, says Jones Brown, a former assistant prosecutor in the county of New Jersey. And then for whatever reason, jury and prosecutor officers are much less likely to indict or convict that individual. Between 2003 and 2009, the Department of Justice reported that 4,813 people died while in the process of arrest or in the custody of the law enforcement. These include people who died before an officer physically placed him or her under custody or arrest. This data, known as arrest-related death, doesn't reveal a significant discrepancies between whites, blacks, or Hispanics. It also does specify how many victims were unarmed. According to the FBI, who has tracked justifiable homicides up to 2012, 410 felons died at the hands of a law enforcement officer in the line of duty. That is unarmed. But black people are more likely than white or Hispanic to experience a police officer's threat or use of force, according to the Department of Justice Public Contact Survey in 2008, the latest year for which data is available. Of those who felt the police had used or threatened them with force that year, about 74% felt those actions were excessive. In another DOJ survey of police behavior during traffic and street stops in 2011, blacks and Hispanics were less likely than whites to believe that the reason for the stop was legitimate. So the racial profiling and, you know, all of that continues. Police shooting of unarmed black people are limited to poor or predominantly black communities. Jones Brown pointed to examples where police officers have shot unarmed black men and women in Hollywood, Riverdale, California, and, hey, believe it or not, Prince George County, Maryland, a suburb known as the most influenced U.S. county with an African American majority. Part of the problem that black people realize that you don't have to be poor, you don't have to be in your own community, and this can happen to you, she said. These killings occur against black people of various socioeconomic backgrounds, actors, professional football players, college students, high school graduates. They happen to black cops, too. Yet the lack of comprehensive data means that we can't know if there's been an unsurge of such cases, said Samuel Walker, a criminal justice scholar at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, and the author of The Color of Justice. It's possible to make any definite statement on whether there were more incidents in the last 5 to 10 years than in the past, he says. We just don't have, the kind of data, but what is certain, Walker says, is that the fatal shooting in Ferguson was just the tip of the iceberg. Undate 8514 USA Today reported on an average there were 96 cases of a white policeman, a white police officer killing a black person each year between 2006 and 2012 based on justifiable homicide reported to the FBI local police. As a reporter above the FBI justified homicide database paints only a partial picture, accounting for cases in which an officer kills a felon. It does not necessarily include cases involving victims like Michael Brown, Eric Garner, and others who were unarmed when confronted by the police. The data in this post have been updated with 2012 numbers, and there's a chart below that has been updated to reflect that certain cases have been closed. Now, this is crazy, but this is something that we have discussed. This is something that we have talked about, and it is some issues that we're basically, with the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, we are saving our children. Why incarcerate, educate? We're trying to address some of these issues by getting into the community and working with our youth, creating jobs to put our brothers and sisters to work. Okay, with that said, we're going to get to the show, and we're going to do a little thing about it.
Concentrate and open up your mind.
Send this out to all my brothers and sisters out there in Ferguson, Missouri. Keep your head up.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and tears here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Right
now.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Network Radio, the Daniel Clark and Marsha Jones show. This show is going out to the Brown family there in Ferguson, Missouri, and every family that have faced this kind of issue, something that we know goes on every day in our community, but it just doesn't get reported as such. You can give me a call, 646-478-4995. If you have any discussion or if you want to talk about any ways that we can work collectively to get into our communities and start working with our youth, our ex-offenders, and our veterans, hey, we got to put it back into the community. What we're getting out is not good at all. So I'll see if I can get my brother here on the line and continue to play music.
Hey, Dan.
Brother Jones, what's going on?
Not a lot, man. Sitting up here reading, actually. Getting ready to go to this little concert happening in the park this evening.
Right. I feel you. Yeah, you know, I was just talking with the audience about the situation out there in Ferguson. Matter of fact, if you go on Facebook, you will see an article that I put up there because, I mean, this is a tragic thing that happened, but this is something that happens every day throughout the country, and there's issues that we've been talking about, and we've been trying to get people to address, but I guess now they can kind of see what's been in the background.
Oh, yes, you know, I feel so, what's the word, discombobulated, because I can't seem to get through to my people that this country was built on the backs of slaves. And slaves have, to this day, been able to participate in the wealth and the beauty and the richness of this country to the extent that we as a people can say we belong here. Even though we built this country, the principles that this country, the ideology that this country was built on, all African dynamic that we as a people have no knowledge of. And we got to understand that the European never intended to teach us anything about ourselves. And we are going into the 21st century with no knowledge of who we are, and that's a damn shame. And until we can wake up and understand that these Europeans who claim to be Christians came over here, the Indians gave them thanks and thanksgiving, and he let them smoke the pipe of peace, only to be deceived with the wretchedness of the evil mind of the Europeans. And I just got real serious problems with my people, not so much white people. White people, they have done what they've been doing for centuries. What makes me think they're going to change? Does a leopard change his spots?
Nope.
No, I don't expect nothing from him. But we are resourceful people. We can come together and be, you know, we could awaken ourselves to how powerful we are. We were the first civilization, and we taught civilization to the world from a God consciousness. And we got to go back to that. Otherwise, we will be just like the Indians and just like the people in Africa. I mean, and that's another thing. Look at Africa, the most richest piece of real estate on the planet. They're supplying all these governments with oil, uranium, plutonium, diamonds, exotic animals for their zoos, and we don't have no claim on none of it. And God gave it to us. What's our goddamn problem?
Hey, we got a serious problem, my brother. I got to tell you. We definitely have a serious problem. I mean, I just came off of Facebook, and, you know, the more that I put push this campaign and trying to get individuals to come aboard and look at the situation. And I'm like, do they have any concept whatsoever of what's going on around them? I mean, when you see our kids dying in the street every day, drugs infested in our communities, our women, I mean, they just don't have any love for themselves in terms of what they look like or what they're even wearing. I mean, it appears that most of them now just want to be just straight out naked. You know, little kids walking around now with their pants hanging down on their ass. And I mean, it is just a loose group of individuals that have no direction whatsoever.
Why? Now that's the question. Why do they have no direction? These kids ain't trying to go to church. You know, I'm walking down the street today, man. When I went to the store, I seen every church filled with cars parked from curb to curb. And people in there singing and dancing, having a good time, spending their money, and coming out back out into this hell ghetto neighborhood that we live in. And we have absolutely nothing. We haven't progressed since 1865. We don't have nothing we can say that our own, but maybe the clothes on our back. We don't have no land. We don't have no buildings downtown. We don't build no bridges. We do nothing for self. But we go to church every Sunday, not realizing that it was the Christians West, the European West claimed themselves to be Christians, came over here, like I said, and the Indians welcomed them, fed them. And what did them Christians do? They exterminated them Indians. And I've been out on them reservations. They living in these little corrugated shacks, and all they do is sit around and get drunk. They can't even grow no food on that desolate land.
Right.
And
right.
Europeans running around there talking about this is our country. Well, why can't black people see that they're doing the same thing to us? Why? Because they got these preachers, and you got these people and these celebrities on TV looking like they're doing well when they don't give no money to the black neighborhoods. But anyway, I don't want to hog my thoughts, man.
Hey, look, I mean, truth is truth. You know, I mean, it is absolutely true that, you know, those are what I call gatekeepers. I mean, because they make it seem as if what they're doing, and, you know, you always got to have a few individuals that you can put out front to make everyone else think, well, I can achieve that, I can achieve that. But on the massive, I mean, there's a lot of people that's out here that have absolutely no hope, don't know where to go get any hope, don't know how. I mean, it's generations and generations, our young sisters raising our young brothers, and then that don't seem to be working too well, you know, all our brothers being incarcerated and at an alarming rate, and now they're actually just being gunned down in the street, you know. I mean, it appears that all these guys need is an opportunity, and, you know, I used to be a federal police officer, so I understand some of the challenge when you have to deal with an individual, and what this policeman did, there is no justifiable reason for it whatsoever, even if he was in that store. And I think they were saying, well, he had gotten a pack of cigars or something.
Sir, I disagree with you emphatically. That's just the point. They call it. They got a term for it. It's called justifiable homicide.
Yep.
This is what they're doing. They justifying it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's crazy that my people can't see through the bull, because I guess they got television. That's probably the best mind food for people that ain't been in here in the you know, the future, the present. And my problem is, will some preacher, some pastor, some imam or somebody of spiritual who claim they have talks with God. Will someone come, please tell me when is Jesus or how is Jesus going to come? Or is he existing? Can you show me a letter of some teeth or a picture of his grave or anything? Well, I don't believe the man ever existed. Matter of fact, I know he didn't. I know he was created at the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. by Constantine, who was seeing that the people at the time were having a lot of religious strife. And he knew that religion is a mind food that organizes people to a single state of mind. And we seem to be we're the most Christian of all Christians that I've ever seen. And what is it getting us? This is what I ask my people. What is it getting us as a people?
Right, right, right.
Well,
Marshall, if I was waiting for you to come get me, you know, if you was traveling from Dayton, Ohio, here to Richmond, Virginia to pick me up, do you think that I'm going to sit around and not do nothing until you get here?
I get your point. And we've been sitting around for 2,000 years. Come on, man. Wake me up.
Yeah, some things that we can do to ourselves, for ourselves, as a race of people, to make some things happen. You know, I had this little thing that come out on Facebook the other day where this young lady was, you know, trying to incite people to come together in a community to try to make a difference to help survive in that community. And, you know, we also had the discussions in a community, in a neighborhood. I live in a neighborhood, you know. And there's a difference. See, a community is not going to allow the drug dealings and all of these things that go on in our neighborhoods. I mean, in our neighborhood. So we have to start creating communities. And that's where when you come through that gate, you got to know that there are certain rules, regulations, and guidelines in order to be accepted in that community that you're going to have to provide by. But we have been so disproportionate that everybody has got their own agenda. Nobody is working together to to get anything done. And it has just torn us apart.
Well, I've given this a lot of consideration. And like I said, man, I've been around the world 3 times. I've met everybody twice. And I see, you know, when you go into other countries, you go to Europe somewhere, man, and you look at the news, they don't portray the news the same way we portray it here. You know, we're always the innocent person, and we're always the one that's fighting for freedom and justice for man. And look in our backyard, the evil perpetrated upon the people, man, of color.
Right.
And the rest of the world looks at that.
Mm-hmm.
But we so mm-hmm. caught up in it that we're so into it that we don't realize that we are still slaves. Like that sister who said, I saved 1,000 slaves, but I could have saved 1,000 more if I could only convince them that they were still slaves.
Yeah, Miss Harris.
And that's what's going on today. Have nothing changed. And these killings are going to continue. And you can march and sing and get all you want, but it ain't going to do no good.
Well,
and Jesus ain't going to come help us. That's pretty obvious to me. So when are we going to wake up and start doing for us? How come we can't realize that there is such a thing as a God? We had to create it. And if we created it, where did it come from? It had to come from somewhere within. You know, God is a consciousness, a state of mind that you could achieve. You could become God-like.
That's what I'm talking about.
On a physical plane. How come we ain't striving to do that? You know, that the church ain't got nothing in there but hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible, it ain't nothing but a storytelling book. That's the reason why you can't read it from cover to cover.
Right.
And that is 16 chapters taken out of it. People don't know what the Bible is. They don't understand what they really got. There's a hundred and some different versions of the same story. And the history is a fact. There were 16 crucified saviors before Jesus. Jesus is the last story of somebody being crucified.
Right, right.
So, see, we got a problem with that. And you know what? I bet you people, I can hear them now saying, he going to hell. Who told
well,
you
we
that?
In hell,
who put that in your mind? Who told you that you was born in sin?
Yeah.
When you God's most beautiful creation, and somebody gonna come along and convince you that you born in scared in sin, to put fear in your heart to go for some pie in the sky that ain't doing you no good. Like that girl the other day, I let her borrow some money. Man, I let her have the money. She said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." I'm saying, what the hell are you thanking him for? He ain't worked and got this money in me to let you have. You know, that's the kind of attitude I got. So I ain't mad at the white man. You know, no wonder he do you. He do you like he want to because you're a child in mind. He made you mentally ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
When you created, you're the first people on the planet to come with the concept of a God or a heaven. The new astronomy. You know, we never thought, we once taught the world that the world was round. You know?
Right.
What did he say? You can't be prejudiced if you don't like nobody. I don't like black folks or white folks. Both of them getting on my damn nerves.
Oh, man. You know, I'm right there
stop.
With you. But see, you know, but somehow... And it can't be so difficult or it's not, you know, science that we don't know. You look at it happening in your community every day. You know, you look at all of these things. You can't get no jobs. You're being incarcerated 100 miles per hour. Your kids are being gunned down in the middle of the street. The racial all of these things that you look at, it seems to me that someone would try to come together, you know, and work toward making a difference in the community, but everybody is just happy where they are. For those
well, you know,
it,
the old saying that goes, when the mind is asleep, the eyes can't see. And that pretty much sums it up in my opinion.
Right.
We won't open our eyes to truth. We'd rather have a belief in something that we can't put our hands on. We can't verify it with fact. So we got a belief. We got a faith in something. And that's okay. You know, I got hope in something too. I hope one day we will wake up. But
yeah.
It probably won't be in my lifetime.
Well, it probably won't be in mine either. I mean, I'm pushing this thing as hard as I can. If I can stay around long enough to see this program get out of Richmond, Virginia, if I can just get to D.C., then I'll be satisfied. But, you know, we have to get this thing to a point where people can start recognizing and realizing that, hey, this is something, if we don't do anything else but raise these funds and start putting people, training people in these different programs that we have, that is at least a start to start identifying individuals and getting them some training where they won't have to go out and sell drugs then kill each other. But as Mr. Geis say, is that we got to start by working with the mind.
Well, I don't see no difference. I don't see no difference in crack or Christ, as far as I'm concerned. Christ is
right.
Just a bigger drug. Matter of fact, it's the worstest damn drug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the reason why these kids see that. I talk to them. They
right.
Tell me all the time, Jesus ain't coming back. He ain't going to save me. Look like he's saving the white people. Look what they got over on the other side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
They got the churches, too. How come that Jesus ain't, if one boy told him one time, if Jesus is real, then he must be a racist. You know, I mean, just think about what these kids, you know, these kids are telling me, hey, Marshal, man, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I don't expect to live to see 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad, man.
It is. It's truly sad.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
They have been put in such a conditional state that they think that they don't have no other choice. You know? They don't, you know, it never dawns on them. Well, I guess probably the dealers it do. The people that consume the drugs don't understand it, but the people that deal it, they understand that they ain't got no planes bringing that stuff over. They ain't got no boats.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a reason for this situation. You've been in a put in a condition in which you are now killable before the world.
Mm-hmm.
They've made. See, the world ain't going to look at it, and they ain't going to think, they're going to say, yeah, get rid of them niggas.
Yeah.
Because that's what we have become. We have become from God-like in the Garden of Eden to beast-like in this realm of hell, perpetrated upon us by the same God that we profess to have faith in.
Right.
I'm with you, brother. Man, whatever we can do to straighten this, at least wake somebody up. But you notice, I also notice on nobody call.
Right.
So I understand that. I understand that I'm not wasting my time. I'm just empowering myself mentally.
Right. Well, you know, nobody calls because nobody really want to deal with the issue that we're dealing with. And you can see that all over. I mean, I see you on Facebook, and I see myself on Facebook. Whenever you put anything positive out on that social media, they look right over it. I mean, it is like, okay, this is nothing. I mean, but if you want to talk about somebody, you know, beating the hell out of somebody down the street, you know, four or five people jumping on one individual, or, you know, you've got everybody that's responding. People's mind is just, they are just not there. They're willing to lay down, set back, accept where they are, and die.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But you put your thumb right on the print.
With that said, we're going to take a little break. You're listening to the Daniel Clark and Marsha Jones Show, the Entertainer's Playground. And Mr. Geis, he's out on the road this evening. I want to send a shout-out to all of our sponsors. And, Marsha, I think this song kind of say what we're trying to give to people. Bobby Bland, Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City.
Showing up for today.
Bobby Blue Bland, Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City. And Marshall, I'll tell you, in Ferguson right now, we've got one individual that's fatally injured and seven arrested. So this incident is just continuing to move forward. And these curfews, there's no telling what's going to happen with those.
Well, I don't see no light at the end of the tunnel as yet. You know, you got pockets of people like you and I talking about issues that should be important to the black community. But I'm telling you, these people are brainwashed by the church. Yes, I said it. They're brainwashed by the church. But the church, what is the church doing? You don't see no pastor stepping up saying nothing positive. You know, and why don't our God look like us?
We had Jesse
How come
Jack.
You do the ignorance of that? You know, that's what I call post-traumatic slave syndrome. You know, we're still slaves and don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have bought into this system. You know, well, okay, you go to school, get an education, get a decent job, and live the American dream. Well, I'll tell you, man, you know, I was a successful artist in my time, and I got to travel the world, and I got to see all over the world black people are in the same situation. You know, there are black people in Japan, Japanese
right.
black people. You know, I couldn't believe it. I had to go see it for myself. They were saying, yeah, there's black people here in Japan. And they ostracized the same way.
Okay, so you said the same thing is happening there.
Of course. What's the old saying? Let's see, when you're white, you're all right. When you're brown, you stick around. When you're yellow, you're mellow. And when you're black, you get back. That's the saying. Just practice all over the planet.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Well, we're still pushing that button. And as I said, I got a feeling that things have gone to work out. I'm happy about where we are. We had an organization to join us. And they're going to bring, they're going to bring a lot of love to the organization. Now, I'm in a very unique place that I'm trying to launch this program. Huh?
Yes, you are, because you got a voice. We have a voice.
Well,
we have Rick.
Richmond, Virginia is one of the... you know, I've been to the James River where they used to bring all the slaves in, and most of the, you know, streets here is named after slave owners. And it's just unfortunate that it happened this way, but then this is where it's got to start.
Exactly. I agree. You know, having a voice on the radio, man, you had the potential of waking up millions of people, because we can't trust regular media anymore because they're controlled by the powers that be.
Right, right.
There's a whole lot of things going on that if they was to show it on TV, you would immediately wake people up. You even got white people talking about, racism
yeah.
and what it's doing to the country and so forth. And you got white people out there exposing the truth.
Right, right. And you know, I want to say this, Marshall, because I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. We're not, emphasizing racism or anything of that nature. What we are basically doing is trying to bring some awareness to the individuals on what we need to do as a black race and get into our communities and start taking and being accountable for some of the things that's happening in our community as far as our youth is concerned. And we know that, I mean, the system is not designed for us to become financially independent, but the fact of it is that we're making everybody else financially independent because they're in our neighborhoods. We're buying their products, and everything that we survive on is furnished by someone else. We need to turn that
All
table
right.
around because they're truly not giving back. They're taking all they can take and leaving us with nothing.
Right. It's crazy, man. I'm just so upset, man. And, you know, Jews, they figured out a way to survive. They stuck together. And they put their mind and their principles on things that would benefit them. Now you can't stop them, even though they didn't become the evil powers, as far as I'm concerned, they'd be. The way they're
mm-hmm.
treating those Palestinians and them people over there, the Arabs and things over there. But they got power. The thing I'm going to respect is how much power do you have?
Mm-hmm.
Black folks, you know, they say financially we would be the ninth richest country on the planet if we ever
right.
came to terms with our dollar and the value of our dollar, what it could do for us, because the church ain't doing a damn thing. We're collecting
mm-hmm.
the pay, but sending money. Ain't nothing but the entertainment on Sunday for old folks and
mm-hmm.
females. But, I really have an issue with the church, man.
Mm.
Because the church is the most solid institution that we can say we have.
Right.
How come we ain't educating these young kids out here in the streets and, you know, having courses in the evening so that they can understand what's going on and how it's destructive it is to the community? How we can
right.
pool our resources together and find a way to make diapers,
mm-hmm.
something low-tech, you know? How come we can't do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dr. Clark said, you know, the Japanese, they went and bought some American cars, took them to China or Japan, took them apart, and let their engineers and scientists study them cars and put them back together better than the Americans could.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're over here selling more cars than Americans are. How come we can't do that? Who told us we didn't have a brain?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and,
you know, Ray Charles can see that.
That's right.
Stevie Wonder can see that. But we blind as hell.
And even the ones that's got the eyes, I mean, you know, a lot of things we just look over. It's like it's not happening. When you see it every day. You know, a lot of our senior citizens are scared to come out of the house in their neighborhoods. And that's because
that's a big deal.
And I was saying
you
to
him,
I wonder what would happen if our parents was here. All of those days and nights that they spent in the cotton fields and corn fields and working for other individuals to get us, you know, to a certain point in our life, I wonder what they would think if they just had the opportunity to look at this situation right now.
They probably didn't have time to think, man. They worked with people from can't see to can't see. Even before the sun come up, and when the sun went down, them people had to work. So when they got to, you know, when they got off from work, hell, they couldn't do nothing but sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now on the weekend, they had their little parties and what have you, you know.
Right.
Shackety shacks we used to, you know. The Color Purple brought that out.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, but, you know, I'm just upset that we can't see beyond that Bible.
Right, right.
We won't even go around and look at it. Rather than go look for yourself, they'd rather get mad at me and I become a target of their ignorance.
When somebody sooner or later say, well, what is he fussing about? Well, let me go check. I done offered people $500. Anybody can prove me that Jesus exists. You bring me proof that he exists, and I'll be in your church next Sunday morning with $500 in my pocket. Ain't nobody challenged me yet, you know. So, you know, I'm saying that to say, wake up. How come you can't see, you know, it is so simple. They say simplicity is the greatest design.
Mm-hmm.
What is our problem?
And now they put this brother over there in front of everything, but they only give him limited amount of authority. So, I mean, he's speaking right now, and I'll get to that sometimes later. But I don't see that as being, you know, this thing is going to stop right there. The same thing with Trayvon Martin and all the other incidents with the young lady that was shot in her face for knocking on this guy's door trying to get help after an accident.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes, the list just goes on and on and on.
You're a target. And you don't have to be one.
Absolutely.
It's only because of our own ignorance that we have to suffer. You know?
Yeah, for
like,
real.
Like, what's my boy name? That comedian. I can't think of his name. He was imitating his brother, and one guy said, oh, I sure wish slavery come back. You know, you're just leaning on the white man.
Yeah. Yeah, and he leaning the other way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, my brother, we're going to play another song. I'm going to go way back this time. We're going to do some Jimi Hendrix here, Changing. Danny Clark Changes. Yeah, Danny Clark Network Radio, the Entertainer's Playground. My main man, Mr. Marshall Jones, the Ohio Players. And when we come back, we're going to show a little love to our sponsors.
Bunny Miles is going to do this thing he wrote called Dim Changes.
Oh, my.
there, Brother Jones?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Yeah, that was Brother Jimi Hendrix. I'm going to show a little love. Hey, what I want to do right now, we want to talk about this show that we got coming up, Daniel Clark Network Radio. The Entertainers Playground presents the first Veteran Hand Dance Association picnic fundraiser and hand dance jam on the Wheels of Steel. DJ Foxy Lady along with DJ Big City, spinning that Southern Soul, Lime Dance, Jitterbug, and Step hand dance music. That's on September the 27th from 6 o'clock until 10:30. Donations, $22. Hey, advance tickets only. And the proceeds will help fund our fiber optic, our structured cabling course for our veterans and our ex-offenders. That's 1712 Bellevue Avenue right here in Richmond, Virginia. And this is sponsored by Carr Creation Fashion Design. Mrs. Carr, what's happening with you? DJ Big City, DJ Foxy Lady is going to be the entertainment. Mr. Wilbur Geist from the National Coalition of Minority Businesses and the New Vision Outreach Center. Our brother Marshall Jones from the Ohio Players, and also Gene Poo Poo Anderson. Also, one of our new sponsors here, we want to send some love out to Natural Beauty Salon and Spa, Mrs. Scott there, right here in Richmond, Virginia. You can give her a holler, 804-222-2424. Hey, go get that. And she's doing that natural thing, Marshall.
Okay.
Yeah, she's doing that natural thing. Yep. So.
Yeah. I'm real happy when I see black women going nappy. I'm happy
hey.
To see the nappy.
Happy to see the Love it.
Yeah.
You know, at one point, you know, our females used to give you some type of an imagination on what you was going to get. I mean, you really couldn't see their body, so you had to deal with them from that mind standpoint. Now it's like you set the body out there first, and then you get all that other stuff later.
And that's the truth. Yeah, everything's backwards, man. It's hell-bent, man. It's evil. And it's from evil people, let me tell it. You know,
yeah.
they do things in the world to make it look like they're a God-fearing country, man. But then we, we do covert things that we hide our hands. So it's hard to trust the white man because ever since he came into history, he's lied. And created chaos and confusion and wars. I don't know what, I can't see it no other way. You know, I'm just looking at it for what I really see it as.
Well, the
it's
eyes don't
corrupt.
Lie, that's true.
And obviously, it's pretty obviously, you know, this man has no conscience, man. You know, he can kill and dig. But I like what I killed stepping on an ant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just ain't matter with him.
Yeah, nothing matters. I mean, they just take. I mean, you know, the thought has been in my mind for such a long time. You know, and I've always said now, I've seen them build buildings to preserve the history of this United States. And then you got homeless people laying around the building that they have created to preserve for the future. What about the people that's here now? It's a material thing. It's not a people thing. And it seems that they got everybody else hung up on this materialistic value. It doesn't matter how many people is dying as a result of it.
Well, that's the key to capitalism is to show you a lot of bling bling and you know, presenting models that come on TV or in style shows, and they got all these hair designs and these people, you know, that are sponsoring these programs. That's what it's all about. It's all program. You know, they'll tell you, this program is brought to you by so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, they mean that. You're being programmed. And once you get caught up in this so-called American dream, they're going to always flaunt somebody in front of you that has got everything materialistic. But look at what the planet suffers for all these material things, man. We polluted the air, the ground, and the water.
Right.
You know, pretty soon we're going to self-destruct just by ignorance, you know, of what we're doing for all this freedom of course, I don't see it as being free, but that's what they say. That's what they promote. That's what they program into your mind. And, you know, the beat goes on. I'm just hoping that between you and I, we may be, if it ain't nothing but a germ, that'll turn into a seed that will grow and grow, you know?
Yeah, and I guess the focus need to be turned on our young brothers and sisters now between the age of conception. We need to have some type of system set up where we can help redirect their minds and their attention from all. And, you know, the program that I had once before was to redirect our youth from violence, drugs, and to guide them to a more positive direction through entertainment. And
right.
was 15, 20 years ago. And we're right back at the same place once again, only the situation have gotten worse. Now, I couldn't get funded for that program during that time, but look what have happened in our communities. It is just crazy. And everybody seems to think that this is the norm for black folks.
You know, you have people coming over here, the tourists coming into this country. First thing they want to do is get in a car with tinted windows or a cab or something, and they want to see the ghetto. They might want to see the Washington Monument. They might want to see this and that. But their prize in the tour is the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them niggas. We can go back home and show just how niggas are.
Right.
I mean, it's so sad where they're doing those people in Africa. And they're always throwing up this little story about, what they call it, nations, African nations fighting each other. And there's truth to that. But, you know, that's all you hear about. You don't hear about the Africans that are doing major surgery, doing things that are positive for the people. You know, you hear about this outbreak of Ebola. Who's going to believe that after this AIDS epidemic?
Well,
who's
going to
believe that, you know?
If it is an outbreak, they're probably here.
Them people been over there for millions of years, and they ain't had no jails. They didn't have no prostitution, and they didn't have a lot of crime. Because what they would do, they would go farm their farms and do their garden, and they would take their food to market and put a price on it, and people would come along and put money in the coffer, take what they needed. And somebody came along and had no food, could take what they needed. Called the garden is God's gift to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things are free. You shouldn't have to pay for air to pump your tire. But you do.
Yeah.
You know?
That is something else that they seem to take in control of. Now you got to pay for air and, I mean, all of this.
Water.
I grew up with chickens in the backyard.
Me too.
With hogs. I grew up with a garden on the side of the house. And a lot of all the things that we needed, we created ourselves.
And that's gonna, I believe that's going to happen again.
Yeah, one is we couldn't afford to even get the town to buy the products that they had, but that was good living. It was good living in the sense that we knew exactly what we were eating. Now, everything that we eat comes from somebody that we don't. I mean, matter of fact, every day we could be being poisoned and we have no idea. I mean, because once again, we depend on the government to show us everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got to get back with my brother in Louisiana so that we can talk more on this farmer's market that he want to work on there. And also, as this campaign go forward, we're going to make Camp Offspring a place that we can take our young brothers and work with them in establishing and identifying some self-worth and keep them from this contamination that we're facing in our neighborhood every day.
Right. Well, you're a blessing to your community, man. I'm just glad you got me tagging along. I hope that, you know, the word gets out, you know, and you start getting call-ins. Yes.
Well, it's going to take it's going to take something to happen. This show should bring us more exposure. And you know how we are as a people. We're not going to get anybody involved until they see that as working. And then every Tom, Dick, and Harry want to be a portion of it and claim it. But the fact of it is that I'm not going to let it deter me from doing what I'm doing. So I believe that eventually this thing going to take off like a rocket. And everybody that's on that ship, they're going to be able to reap some of the benefits, because not only are we working toward training and working with our youth, but this organization eventually going to start creating jobs. So the people that's here on the ground, those will be going to be the individuals that's going to have those executive positions and accounting and all of the necessary things that it takes to run an organization. It's going to be creating jobs as we go. So with that said, my brother, we're running up on 26 minutes here. We're going to do another little song here. This one, The Intruders, Save Our Children.
Thank you.
Heart Network Radio on the line, Brother Marsha Jones. Hey, man, I was just thinking that somehow this situation, you know, for you to take your time out on a Sunday evening, and we've been doing this for a while now, and for me, you know, I have to continue to make things happen, make things move, and I want to say to all of our audience out there is that it takes time, energy, and effort in order for any movement to start. And I don't want individuals looking at me or looking at you, because we're spending our time and our effort, and time and effort is money. So there have to be something that we feel in our heart that need to be done, and nobody else, and I won't say no one else, but I'll say that it's just not happening in the fashion where it's getting back to our community. You still with me? Okay, we seem to have lost our brother there. I guess eventually he'll be back on the line here. So you're listening to the Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Entertainer's Playground. This is the Marsha, Daniel Clark and Marsha Jones show. Once again, we want to talk about the first Veteran Hand Dance Association picnic fundraiser and hand dance jam. This is the first of a large amount of concerts that we're going to be doing. And we're trying to get to the point in which we can do this all over the United States and then put these funds back into our community to work with our youth and our kids, our ex-offenders, and create jobs in our community. Daniel Clark Network Radio. We're going to play another song here while I wait to see what's happening with my co-host there. Mr. Jones, are you there? I think I hear you back there, but you're not coming out, so let's see if we can figure out what this problem is.
I have tried.
can't get no satisfaction, and that is one of the things that we're happening in our communities right now today. Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Entertainer's Playground, the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. We're saving our children while incarcerate. Educate. Okay, we're coming up on 13 minutes here on the show, and I'm still trying to see if we've lost our brother here. But we're going to do another song, and we're going to keep this thing moving. We want to ask you to be for real.
Hey, lady, can I say something to you for a minute? Please? No, now. Before you take your coat off. That's it. I've got something to tell you. See, what I have to say is so very important to our relationship. Why is it every time we go out on the town and get around my friends? Man, you're always talking about what you got. What I done bought for you. How much money I made. And what school our children go to. And all the fancy clothes and the big pretty cars and the big diamond rings and the fantastic mink coats. Is you for real? No, I don't think you are. Sit down now. No, sit down. No, don't say nothing. You see, wait a minute. That's your problem. That is your problem. You're always saying the wrong thing at the right time. You see, I don't know how to explain it to you. The best I can tell you is what my mother told me as I was coming up. She used to say, son, chances go round. She's saying the same people that you meet going up, you make the same old faces coming down. Tell the truth. You see, people today, they come out, man, to party. They come out to party, man. They didn't come out to hear all that job mess you talking about. You standing up in the corner with a bottle of champagne, talking about Harry, Joe, and Dick, and Bobby, and what they ain't got. And they lived out in the lower development homes, and you won't even help. You won't even buy them a drink. Is that any way to be? If you're going to boast, boast around somebody that has what you have. Don't make your own brothers and sisters feel bad. You see, listen. I know you know what I'm talking about because from time to time I can remember you coming to me, putting your head on my shoulder and crying. Oh, Papa, why? Why? Why don't nobody want to be my friend? You told me a long time ago, you said, Papa, what am I doing? I didn't want to tell you then. I thought you'd have sense enough to realize what you're doing, but I see you don't. Sit down and listen to me. No, sit down. People are too sensitive today. They don't want to hear all that job you're talking about. You see, they don't want to hear about what you got because they're trying to get it too. Tell the truth. I can't very much blame them. As much as it hurts me, it hurts to see people going around behind our backs saying that here's woman this, here's woman that. And she ain't this, she ain't that. I want to be proud of you, Mama. I want to be proud of you. Listen, as long as you live, whether you're with me or not,
be free. have no attitude if you're living good. No, if you're smartly dressed. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. What you should be doing is getting down on your knees every night. It's like in a man above for being blessed right now. Oh, if there was a prison, they get down with a spy. Be free, girl. Hey, baby, hey, baby, you better dig yourself down, woman. Push people down is less than you. It just don't pay. Hey, yeah.
Jones, I don't hear you. Evidently, we're having some technical difficulties here, but that's all right. We're going to keep it going. We got about 5 more minutes in this show, and if you don't get back with us, I'll be in touch with you shortly. Marvin Gaye, what in the world is going on?
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up?
This is a two-bit party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light. Pick it back. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right now.
Right on.
Network Radio, keep it moving. We will talk to you soon.